This is Jason Knight, and I am an ECW original. So please, do yourself a favor, listen to my voice very carefully, and most definitely tune into This is Extreme. And I have one more question for you. How do you like my line?
Beat me if you can survive. If I let you
proclaim nevermore.
Let the new era begin. The era of the ECW.
Oh my god.
Greetings, ECW fans, and welcome to This is Extreme, a ECW history podcast. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us. We got a great episode for you here today. We have an interview with the sexiest man in the world, Jason. He's also known now as professionally as Jason Knight. I have a great interview with him where we talk all kinds of things. His time in ECW, some of his looks and outlooks on the product, his feud with Mikey Whipwreck. Where he thought some of the shortcomings were with his run in ECW, and what he's up to now. That's a great interview that'll be coming up here shortly. Before we get into that, a couple of ECW-related news things that are out and about there. Recently, Impact Wrestling had its 1,000th episode of TV. It aired on 9/14, September 14th, and Bully Ray and D-Von, or Bubba Ray and D-Von, Team 3D, or a.k.a. the Dudley Boys, reunited and defeated the Desi Hit Squad on the show. It's good to see them back together. And it looks like, from what they've put out on social media, they might be doing a few select appearances and dates in the future. So it's cool to see them back together. On September 23rd, episode of AEW Collision, Rob Van Dam once again appeared. And he teamed with Hook to defeat Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. RVD again looked great. Man, it's just sometimes just like he's not even missing a step, and he looks really good, and it's kind of cool to see him team with Hook. Of course, Hook, the son of Taz, another ECW alum, and so it's kind of cool to see Rob Van Dam and Hook together. It's pretty neat. And one last thing, if you are into ECW trading cards, especially ones that are signed, check out Corey Bastian on Twitter X, whatever it's called now. You can look him up. It's at Corey Bastian, K-O-R-E-Y-B-A-S-T-I-A-N. He has got some great looking signed ECW trading cards of all kinds of ECW talent. So go check him out. Reach out to him. See what he's got. Purchase some of those cards and tell him This is Extreme sent you. So that's everything I got leading into this. So let's get to it. Take a little short break. And when we come back, we'll have that interview with Jason.
Be sure to follow This is Extreme on all social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for ECW Pod. Be sure to follow us, keep up to date, and join in the discussions. We want to hear your feedback, so find us on all the social media platforms and join the revolution.
All right, and welcome back to This is Extreme, and I am being joined by an ECW original, the sexiest man on earth, Jason. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're on here. You've been one I've been wanting to interview for a while now. I've always been a big fan of your work, and I think you're very underappreciated in the history of ECW. We'll talk some about that. Before we dive into your career, give me a little background. How did you first become a fan of professional wrestling?
Well, you know, back in the late 60s, my mother and I used to live in London, England, and we were with my father, and he was a big wrestling fan, and whenever wrestling would come on, we'd watch it, and, you know, it was a different style, you know, the rounds system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little bit different, but it was very, very entertaining, and there were tremendous athletes, so we both appreciated all that, and I was always interested in the physical part of it. Mm-hmm. As far, you know, everything that falls under the umbrella of professional wrestling, different styles of martial arts, and of course, amateur wrestling, freestyle, and Greco-Roman, and bodybuilding, and action films that featured people that looked larger than life. And so, like I said, it all falls under that umbrella, and it interested me very much. And well, today's now.
Yeah. So who trained you? How did you get trained for your career?
I started some back in 1977. You know, I was like 14 years old, and that was here in the United States, in New York. And I found some small wrestling gyms that would train young would-be professional wrestlers. But you know, it was nothing that would be sanctioned by the state athletic commission. So for a few years, I kind of messed around with that, and you know, learned a little bit here and there. But then later on in the 80s, I went to Johnny Rods, Bobby Bald Eagle, and then it took off from there.
Yeah, it you know, like you said, in the 80s, early in your career, you did some undercard work for WWF before you came to ECW. But so how did you end up coming to ECW? How did you get booked into there?
Well, I knew Paul for quite a while, and then Paul and I knew each other in WCW because I worked for them before I did for the WWF. Mm-hmm. And that was, I believe, back in 1988. And I worked with a lot of the great top talent over there. Mm-hmm. Actually, my first opportunity for WCW was somewhere in Florida, and I believe it was 1988, and it was a house show, and it was what do they call it? Oh, an 18, because it featured, you know, Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen, and I just happened to had an opportunity to work with Mike Rotunda, and
oh, yeah.
You know, I was replacing someone that couldn't show up that particular mm-hmm. show. And it was the best learning experience, because I didn't, and I, you know, I mean, I've said this many times before, from the time that I entered that arena, which was early in the afternoon, until the curtain time, I didn't meet Mike Rotunda. And
right.
I met him just as we were about to enter, you know, the arena through the curtains, and asked him if there was anything in particular he'd like to do. And he pretty much told me, you know, I'll call it in the ring. And I said, absolutely. And as I went in there, the referee, I forgot if it was Nick Patrick or Randy Anderson, told me that the finish would be the airplane spin.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's pretty much how that happened. And I think they gained a lot of trust in me. Kevin Sullivan was booking at that time, so he trusted me enough to ask me to start doing the TVs. And I did. And I worked with some of the greatest talent out there, the Steiner brothers, and of course, Ric Flair and Michael Hayes, and there were some others, and Hercules Hernandez when he was the Super Invader.
Uh-huh.
I heard that I had an opportunity to travel up to Canada and start doing a TV for WWF, and my first opponent over there was Rick Martel, second Ric Flair, and then it went on and on. You know, I worked with Steve Kern when he was the Skinner. I worked with Terry Pepper a couple of times, and the Mountie, and a whole bunch of guys. And you know, that's how that opportunity came about. And then, you know, Paul knew me from way back in WCW, and one day in 1993, and this is right after my second back surgery, I get a call from him that he will be a part of ECW, and of course, you know, I knew that it was called something different back then.
Eastern.
Eastern, but before that.
Oh, the Tri-State or something?
Yeah, Tri-State. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, back then, it was all through magazines and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrestlers, you know, were not so smartened up, and there were a lot of indies out there. So I thought it was going to be just another independent wrestling show and, you know, one shot and, you know, why not, you know, travel to Philly? Mm. But, and it was 1993 and it was late fall. So, you know, 3 months or so after my second back surgery, of course, Paul convinced me to do it because he reiterated the fact that I would be working with the Public Enemy, and I've known Ted Petty and Mike Durham for a long time, and I trusted them, and they knew that I was injured and, you know, still healing from my serious lower back surgery. And, you know, we did Ultra Clash 93. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. You know, it was like a miniature Madison Square Garden. Everything, yeah. The rafters. And again, you had Kevin Sullivan there and you had all the ECW originals, which I call it, the ones that were where I was, you know?
Yeah. And,
it was, I worked, with the Public Enemy, then did a run in where Abdullah the Butcher and Kevin Sullivan were there, and Terry Funk and Stan Hansen, and you know, the magic just happened.
Yeah. So was the back surgery, is that why because you were recuperating from that, is that why early on you were kind of doing more of a manager type thing initially?
Yeah.
Because you were still recovering?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, yeah. It was that after I recovered, I would start wrestling again. But, you know, Paul had this insane idea that that whole character that he gave me worked out so well. And I think, you know, in the beginning it did, you know, until it got boring and, you know, I wasn't happy with it. But in the beginning, you know, it was pretty cool and I ran with it. But I always thrived to wrestle because that's what I was trained for.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you said Paul gave you the gimmick and the sexiest man thing. Who came up with the how do you like my line? Was that a Paul thing too, or was that something that you did in a promo?
No. The whole idea, see, he kind of spread the idea out to me. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make it my own because, of course, you had Rick Martel that did it impeccably, and you can't really follow that. So yeah. I remember watching a movie back in the 70s with Richard Gere, American Gigolo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of emulated that, you know, with a whole, you know, all different suits and everything had to match. And, you know, remember that scene when he is about to go out on a date with one of his clients, and he's trying to match the socks to the underwear to the shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
Tie to the shirt. And then, you know, he's matching them all up. And I said, wow, you know, this is pretty cool because this is something that I can, you know, steal. And a lot of people wouldn't remember, you know, where it came from. Because by then, you know, that movie was like passé, but, you know, it was still very clear in my mind. So I kind of ripped off Richard Gere.
Well, you can do worse. You had a lot of heat. I mean, that, you know, that gimmick really. Really got a lot of heat, but do you feel that kind of the gimmick and kind of the way the angle, you know, everything was portrayed with you kind of, I don't know, cheating into some wins, cheating into, you know, the TV title win and everything else. Do you think that kind of hid the fact that, I mean, you're really a very talented wrestler. You really, really are. I mean, do you think that kind of overshadowed that and you didn't get a chance to really show it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's why toward the, late middle, toward the, S end of ECW, I wasn't happy because I felt that all I did was train and diet, and you know, still after so many years in wrestling, train all the time, and you know, gave a lot of young people tryouts, and even went out there and you know, put a very talented young lady over in Ohio for one of the pay-per-views, meaning Jazz. And I thought that would earn me a spot, which I was promised you know, do this, and then, you know, we're going to go on from there and kind of like turn you loose. Because, you know, let's face it, when Justin Credible first came in, it was logical to give him a manager, a mouthpiece, but not for long, because he's so talented and such a great performer that he embraced that character to a point where he didn't need me to be his manager. And especially, you know, when the impact players formed, you know, you had Don Marie out there, you know, I was just like a fifth wheel, you know, not even a spare tire, you know, and you didn't need me out there because, those guys, you know, along with Don Marie were tremendous, you know, and I think, you know, he could have, turned me loose, but, whatever it was, you know, I think, he felt that I was starting to, get a little bit of a negative attitude and, you know, show that vibe because I was, clearly not happy with my position over there. And I, you know, I didn't want to stay manager. And, another thing that really, got me very disappointed in the whole deal was that whenever I would have matches, they would either be edited or they wouldn't be shown on TV so that I could look like, you know, a guy that can't wrestle, you know, just, you know, running around and all that. So yeah, you know, it's, well, pretty much a typecasting, and I believe in the long run. Yeah, it did hurt me.
Yeah. Early on, you worked a lot with Mikey Whipwreck. You had a run with him. And recently Mikey said that, he can't stress enough how important you were to him and how much you helped him early in his career. I mean, how do you respond to that? I mean, Mikey's a great guy, and I love the fact that, again, I mean, I've always been a fan of you, and you're very talented, and I like seeing Mikey give you your props and denoting how, you know, how important you were. So, I mean, how do you respond to that, Mikey saying that?
Well, the thing is, you know, that I actually, publicly extended my gratitude to Mikey for not only saying what he did, but for the fact that he was an important part of my career, that, you know, when I felt, early on, I think it was like, what was that? Like 94, 95.
Yeah.
It was long ago. I'd say 94, maybe, early 95 late 94. And, we had such different characters, you know, it was an entirely, other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, him as a babyface and me as, you know, what I portrayed, I thought it was such a good match and such good chemistry. I believe that we could have gone on and on and on for quite a while with that. And it could have returned and really, become a great angle and a great storyline. And we would always have great matches because, he was a tremendous listener, you know, back, when he was, younger and, you know, just, still, you know, trying to get his, should I say, not ski legs, but, you know, ring legs, you know, to wings, that which he did in a record amount of time because that's how talented he is. You know, he's a pure professional wrestler and, a hell of an attitude and everything. I had some of the best times working with Mikey Whipwreck. And I think, that if we would have stayed with it, you know, it could have gone all around. I just think it was, very short lived. As to the fact that I think, you know, we could have done a lot more, you know, because, he was only getting better and better and better. And more popular. And, you know, hence the fact that, you know, he's a triple crown holder. That's not, you know, that's for a good reason.
Yeah.
You know, the wind didn't bring that, you know, it's, I mean, you know, you've got to, realize the fact that, he's a tremendous performer and I was blessed to have been, paired off with him. And he gave me an opportunity to break out at least you know, for a minute, for a cup of coffee, out of the whole manager situation, you know, that I always kind of, you know, it's almost like I'm grateful for it, and then I regret it at the same time, because again, typecasting is a bitch, you know?
Yep. Yep.
It can really, you know, you feel like you're jumping in place, all the time and, you know, not moving anywhere, like running in slow motion, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
But as far as, working with, John Watson, Mikey Whipwreck, you know, it's amazing. It was amazing. And, you know, I would still do it today, you know,
yeah.
I think, we had superb chemistry. And, again, it's not just the veteran leading it, but it is, the young man that is, simply gifted and able to, follow with, without any problem whatsoever, you know, superb yep. professional wrestler and, wonderful person. And, I was very happy to see him, the other day in, Hamburg.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You guys had great chemistry. And like you touched on, I mean, the characters just, they clash so well. And I think it's part of it, you know, why it worked so well.
They did. Sure. You know, especially, you know, that, that crowd, you know, Philly crowd. I mean, that crowd came out to see us from everywhere, pretty much, from all over the East Coast and, even further parts of the United States and Japan and other countries, and appreciated all that and recognized, you know, the difference in character. And a lot of those people are, you know, just hard work, blue collar folks that work for their money and they earn it. And I think it was a good relief and a release for them to have someone that can act like I do, because it's a complete, it's the complete opposite of, you know, someone to, kind of, boo and hate and then, to admire, you know, an up and coming young kid that, you know, is simply a dragon. I mean, you know, he does everything, you know, to, he pulled it off great. You know, that's one thing, you know, he may say that, he owes this and that, you know, for the fact of working with me, but, I can say the same thing, you know, it's,
I mean, it's definitely a dance, right? You gotta have the right partner. And, So yeah, early on, you, like I said, you were there early. You're like, you know, one of the, as you call originals there early. When was there a point where you started to feel that this was something special, right? You mentioned that you thought it was kind of just another independent, right? That's what your mindset was. Yeah. When did you start to sense, man, this is more. This is special. This has something going here.
I would have to say that it was the very first night at Ultra Clash. Ultra Clash.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that because it was simply amazing. You know, you did not have that many independent groups that could fill a large place like formerly known as the ECW Arena.
Yeah.
You know, it was full to the rafters, and people were very, very receptive toward every single match. I mean, you know, they were there. They were, they were then what they would be now.
Yeah.
And who told me, and especially the talent that they were able to afford to train, to do well and continue. And then, of course, evolve to the point which ECW had evolved to. I immediately had this feeling that, you know, I'd like to be back here. If I am, I think I'm going to be part of something that is going to be larger than even what it is. And at that point, I think it was probably the hottest independent group that I've ever worked for. Because again, I worked for WCW and I worked for the WWF, and between them, those two major promotions and independent promotions, it's apples and oranges. But this was really like this was hitting home, and you know, I knew pretty much immediately that, you know, it would take time. And then, of course, you know, when you see these legends repeatedly coming back again, Kevin Sullivan, Abdullah the Butcher, the original Sheik, Stan Hansen, all these guys, you know, repeatedly coming back, and the talent that they were creating, and or the talent that was already created, guys like Sabu and the gangsters, and you know, that were popular somewhere else and were coming in here, you know, just utilizing all that talent, and then, you know, bringing in people that had certain weaknesses, but Paul was able to hide the weaknesses and show off their strong points. I knew that, you know, this is the way to go.
Yeah, that kind of leads me to my next question. A lot of people talk about how, you know, the ECW locker room, the family feel of it. And right, you hear a lot of times people refer to it as the island of the misfit toys, right? These guys that couldn't stick somewhere else, couldn't quite make it somewhere else. But when they came here, they had a chance to shine and show their positives. And like you said, you know, Paulie, you know, he was very, very talented at hiding the weaknesses and doing things to do that. Did you feel that family vibe in the locker room and the closeness and it's us against them and you know, we gotta fight and make this thing something special?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I felt that, and I understood that, you know, you have these companies that, you know, the major two, because, the AWA, I believe by that time was gone. So obviously later on came the Monday Night Wars and all that, and they could afford to bring in already, should I say, made men and made women that were already known elsewhere, where ECW would bring in, you know, the very few, but utilize the local talent and the available talent to the best of their ability. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. And not one of those wrestlers or valets or managers would I ever call, you know, to be a weak performer in the ring by any means. They just had different styles and people very much accustomed to every one of these established wrestlers, you know, in the big companies. Oh, he's great. He's this and he's that. And, you know, he or she, you know. And I think they never utilized the people of different styles the right way. And when they did, they made him look even worse. So that didn't help.
Yeah.
You know? Till the point where they started kind of borrowing ideas and different wrestlers, and you know, it got to the point where the most scientific wrestler out there couldn't hold a candle to someone like Sandman, that is supposed to be a bad wrestler, you know, like incapable of wrestling, or someone like New Jack. And I would say bullshit, because you know, they're all trained professionals, you know. They just simply do what works for them, you know.
Right.
Yep. And you know, same thing as the guys that that make other people shine, you know, the so-called whatever they would call us, jobbers. And a lot of us had a lot more wrestling ability and talent than these superstars. You know, we may not have had the opportunity or the look or the size or whatever, but you know, why do you think they hired us? To make them look good.
Yep.
You know, so, they can draw money and make money. So it's you know, it's a fine line over there.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. So what are your feelings about how ECW ended and the kind of the mess it was? And do you have, I'm not trying to stir any dirt, but did you ever have any issue with Paul Heyman and pay or anything? I mean, some of those horror stories, did you experience any of that?
Yeah, I left, I believe it was right around 2000. And then I heard that for however long they were around for, I heard that there was simp not getting paid. You know, they were just traveling and, you know, promises were made. Yeah, I had trouble, you know, with their checks bouncing. And, you know, I would have to ask for it to be, you know, redeemed because, mm-hmm. you know, I can't have all these checks bouncing and pay the fine on that. And, you know, so mm-hmm. yep. pretty much, it just that, you know, there were a lot of promises, you know, we're supposed to get pay-per-view bonuses and, you know, the t-shirts and, the video games and all that. Well, obviously, you know, that never happened. It became a nuisance, but my feeling is that it was all designed for it to be that way. I think that, Paul Heyman was absolutely at all times cahooting with, World Wrestling Federation at the time before told everyone to get the F out, literally. I believe that, the ones that are atop, even today, they knew it and they went right along with it. And you know what? You can't blame it because it is every man for themselves. You know, yep. that brotherhood thing. Once you start making that almighty dollar and you know, you need to feed your family and, you want to live well, you know, that whole brotherhood theme, is flushed down the toilet into the sewer. So, you know, I'm not even blaming the guys that, you know, kept it hush hush and, you know, they went right along with it. And, you know, these are a lot of the, guys that are successful today, but you know what? They deserve it because they worked hard anyway, just like we all did. It's just that, you know, they were dealt better cards and
yep.
they went along with it, took advantage of it as well as, anyone should, you know,
yeah.
not believe in, you know, being grimy and dirty in the business. No, you don't have to expose everything. You don't have to tell me how much you make. I don't want to know. And mm-hmm. where you go and, you know, what your relationship is, Paul, Vince, Vern, Bischoff, this one or that one. I don't want to know, and I don't really care. But it would be nice, you know, that if everybody got treated with respect and people weren't left out there in the dust, and, you know, it caused a lot of turmoil. You know, it caused, caused a lot of people, you know, now they've broken down. A lot of them are dead. A lot of them committed suicide. A lot of them, have lost their minds. And, you know, sometimes bad things do happen to good people that mean all the best, you know, and then, mm-hmm. you know, we could go on and on about this, but
yeah.
And a lot of people and, you know, you see at these conventions, you know, someone looking at you crossways. Well, buddy. Stuff, you know, I don't care, you know, and then I have my tongue and you know what? And then after I say, go fuck yourself, God bless you, you know, and you know, quit looking at me from the corner of your, I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, you talked about, seeing Mikey the other day and everything. Are you still close with anybody from ECW and in regular contact?
Well, you know, started back after 12 years of doing absolutely nothing because I just, it's not like I lost interest, but I think that it was like, you know, it's been what it's been. And, you know, I think it's time to, kind of a pull back. And, you know, there's just a lot of it out there. You know, it's almost like it became way too easy to get into professional wrestling. You know?
Yeah, right.
Did you hear of this one? Did you hear? No, I didn't. No, I don't. Because, you know, I haven't watched professional wrestling on TV in probably 25 years. When I want to watch professional wrestling, you know, I'll go on YouTube and, you know, type in Georgia Championship Wrestling or Florida Championship Wrestling from 1970s and 80s, you know, everything of that, you know, I don't even watch because, you know, without guys like Gordon Solie and, you know, it just doesn't exist for me anymore. But, and I'm wrong in a way because right now, I do need to re-educate myself because I just, like I said, you know, I just had, I came back after 12 years of absolutely nothing. And, it was actually, Eric Sims that suddenly contacted me and he said, you know, I think you need to be at this, arena show. And that was like back in, last December. Mm-hmm. Cause I think you're going to do well. They haven't seen you in a while and, you know, just do it. And, you know, I was like, if I make a few bucks, that's great. You know, I mean, he's providing all the pictures and paying for the table and, you know, doing the whole thing because, you know, that's what he does. He promotes and, you know, he does it extremely well. So I said, yeah, you know, I'll do it because, you know, I'll get a chance to get out of the house and start the permit and, you know, sit there and see a lot of my friends that I haven't seen in so long, you know, and it turned out that that went very well. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, you are getting back in spring. I'm like, well, I'm going to be 60 years old pretty soon. So I don't know if that's feasible. No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. You know, just, you know, do this one thing and, you know, see how it goes. And then, well, sucked right back into it. So,
yeah. You
know, here's this near a 60-year-old dude making a comeback.
Yeah. Well, part of that is you're promoting shows again, right? You brought back Assault Championship Wrestling, right? Talk to us a little bit about that.
I did, yeah. You know, it's something we ran pretty successfully for a little while there, you know, probably 3 to 4 years in Connecticut. And it was all riding the coat of ECW, of course. And, you know, I was very fortunate at the time because my friends that were still in ECW or still fresh from ECW, like Bulls Mahoney and Kid Cash and James Maritato, Nanzio, and Tony DeVito, and Danny Doring, and Chris and Tammy, and Cronus, and just a bunch of guys. And if I forgot anyone, I apologize. But just a bunch of guys that would come in, and they wouldn't ask for an arm and a leg. And, you know, we'd hang out, and it was like an immediate draw, you know. And they work along the side of my students. And some of the local talent, you know, like Connecticut's Ron Zombie and, you know, guys like that, that were already Slick Wagon Brown. And, you know, they were all like established, you know, we had Dylan Cage, you know, that it's like, you know, he exploded once he got out there on the scene. So it was kind of easy back then, like an immediate success because our first show pretty much brought the house down. And it's pretty much because I had all these, I had all the help from, not only the locals, but my friends that were coming in to work, to wrestle. And it sparked a lot of interest. So now, you know, we're trying to, bring it back and we're using a lot of the, local talent and, a few people that should be interesting to watch. Like, I know that on November 11th in Williamstown, New Jersey, we're having a show and it's going to be a fan fest along with a show. So we're going to have, Peter B. Beautiful and Man Pondo, including my, Angel Anarosa is my manager. and we're going to have a three-way elimination death match. And there are other matches to be announced very shortly. But, you know, the last card went very well as far as the card is concerned. I wrestled Tony Myers, and it was actually my first time back in a ring. 12 years, and, you know, we had a hell of a time, and, you know, I've known Tony for a very long time, and kind of more like partial to these death matches right now, because, you know, you don't really have to think of too many spots.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned Angel. It's another original ECW.
Original.
She's
absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of coming back into it.
Than ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like she's more beautiful than ever. And, you know, one of my best friends in the world, and I absolutely love her.
Yeah, it's good to see her back working.
Yes.
And, you know, get some attention. So, yeah, because again, she's another one that I think is very underappreciated in those early days of ECW and what she did and accomplished.
Yeah, well, you know, one of our other partners, Tommy Cairo. I mean, he's been dealt a pretty shitty deal, you know, and he's coming back, and I'll tell you what, you know, he's an old man and a yard wide, because no matter what happens to him, you know, you cannot keep him down. And if you do knock him down, you know, you better watch out, because when he gets, it's chaos. I mean, just a great, great friend to have in our corner, a super wrestling brain, and just someone that, completely knows and understands the business. Again, you know, an inspiration to everybody. I mean, my hat comes off to him, and, you know, not seeing a lot of these people in so many years, you know, it gave me that, turbocharged energy to move.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm back in the gym full force, and, getting in the best shape that I possibly can be in.
And yeah. I mean, you still look great. I mean, I had no idea you were 60, but yeah, you're still in great shape. I mean, I would have never guessed it.
Well, you know, we're working on, bettering ourselves every single day.
that's best we can do, isn't it? Yeah. So how can fans follow you or the ACW? What's the best way for them? I mean, to, you know, search you guys out online or whatever and keep up with your shows and follow what's going on.
Well, ACW has its own, the site, Assault Championship Wrestling. And, you know, it's pretty much linked to, my own personal, Facebook page.
Okay. Well, I will, I'll put a link in the show notes here for the ACW page. So people can just click that and give it a follow and keep up on that. Again, it's exciting to see you and Angel back and Tommy having a hand in it. And, I mean, again, Tommy's another guy, a staple of the Northeast indie scene for years and years and years. It's such a important feature in those early ECW days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I always had a great time, working with him. And, you know, I remember back, I think it was like mid to late 80s or something like that. And that's, I met him at, one of Bobby Bald Eagle's, training sessions, and it's connected. And him and I mean, we used to go to war, yet we were training. And I mean, we, you know, people thought that we were like bitter enemies and everything. And we'd be in a ring for like 3-4 hours at a time. Stop. Like, you know, and people are like, well, what are you people doing? You know, I'm like, we're training. We're having a great time. Hey guys, you know, you need to give someone else an opportunity. It felt like we were there for like 10 minutes, you know, and would be like, hey, thanks, man. I mean, it was, you know, those were the days. I mean, I always appreciate him. And, you know, he's a definite gem, because we have him on our side. And, again, Tommy Carr, Angel, myself, my girlfriend Desiree, that does all behind the scenes work. And I mean, she literally busts her rear end, doing all the graphics and everything and promoting. So, you know, and I think everything As far as the posters and all that, looks great. You know, it's not a rinky-dink type of a thing. So, you know, trying to do something, I'll be a part of it, and I'm back in the ring.
That's good. Yeah. And I urge everybody to go check out ACW if they're in the area, or at the very least, follow them online. It's good. It's good to see you guys back out there and doing it and having fun again in what you love.
Support This Is Extreme and buy the This Is Extreme shirt. Show the world that you are part of the revolution and that you support our podcast and the history of ECW. Go to tinyurl.com/ECW pod shirt and buy yours today.
All right. Special thanks to Jason for coming on and doing that interview. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed that interview. And if you did, make sure you subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you like to listen to. We're there. Make sure you subscribe. And if possible, give us a rating and review. And make sure you share our episodes and posts on social media. We're on all kinds of platforms. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look up ECW Pod and we will be there. Follow us on all those platforms. You can follow me personally on Twitter. I am at The Dave Dynasty. And if you'd like to support the show, the best way to do that is to buy a shirt. We have a shirt at tinyurl.com/ECW pod shirt. So go buy one of those and support the podcast. But once again, thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep it extreme.